Well, let us all come before God in prayer. Lord, it is true that we need Thee this morning, especially in this hour, as Thy Word is open before us. We confess, Lord, that oftentimes we can come to it in a cold way, but we pray that Thou wouldst help us to have open hearts. We confess, Lord, that at times on Lord's Day mornings we are rushing here and there, and our thoughts can be in so many places. Lord, may we, by Thy Spirit's help, focus upon Thy Word and be blessed by it. We confess our sins to Thee, Lord, and we pray for that cleansing that comes only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us now, Lord, help us and speak to every heart, and we give Thee all the glory. For we ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen. Amen. Our text is found in verse 26, where at the end of that verse 26 we read, "And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." That's in Acts 11, verse 26. Christian. Recently, as I talked to a group of people and asked them a question, they said to me, "Of course we are Christians. What else would we be?" Often people, when they are asked, that they say that since they are not atheists, since they are not Muslims or some other faith, that they are living in the West, that then that means they are under the category of Christian. Sometimes you walk in the hospital and sometimes you might look at a person's name and you see the board where they have a list of their name and various things and their identification. And then when it says next to religion, they put something like COV or Baptist or RC for Roman Catholic or something like that they put on. Those things. But when they are asked, and when they are confronted about it, "Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ?" They are doubtful. They are not very clear about it. Are you, as it says here, that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch? Are you a disciple? They are not very sure. They choke in saying that. There are many who have not yet experienced a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they categorize themselves amongst Christians. And as I remember about 13 years ago, as I talked to a young man who was brought up in the church, brought up in a Christian home, I didn't know. I thought he was a Christian, but as the conversation was going, I heard certain things which caused me to question, and I asked him directly, "Are you a true Christian?" And he said to me, "Well, in my church background, that's very rude to ask people questions like this. It's very direct to ask such a thing of me." And he wouldn't answer. But do you know what? After about a year, I found out that he had sought the Lord. And his minister said to me, "Do you know that day that you were in our house? You asked that question," and he was very upset about it. But it planted a seed in his heart. And the Holy Spirit worked in him. And he began to think and he began to wonder about it. Am I a real Christian? And he realized, no, all he was a churchgoer. He was a Bible reader. He said his prayers, but he wasn't a true Christian. And so sometimes it is a good thing to ask directly, are you a Christian? And I ask you this morning, are you a true, genuine disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now the question, before even we answer that, we have to ask ourselves, well, what is a Christian? What is a Christian? Now if you go, as we did in Cheltenham High Street yesterday,
on a Saturday afternoon and you stop people and you ask them, well, what is a Christian? We would get a variety of answers. A person who does good things. A Christian, well, why, yes, I was born in a Christian home. I have a Christian family. I live in a Christian country. Well, somebody would say, well, a Christian, sure, I'm a religious person. I believe in God. I attend church. I say my prayers. I give financially to the church. I was christened. I was baptized. Yes, of course I'm a Christian. Don't you know that I've been christened? Don't you know that the priest touched my head? Don't you know that I've joined the church? These are a variety of things I have heard personally when I've asked people on the streets. Well, I'm a Christian because I do the best I can. I live a moral life. I've reformed my way of living. Yes, of course I'm a Christian. A lady told me yesterday, very genuinely, very kindly, because I believe Jesus Christ is a wonderful teacher. One of the best teachers ever. And so I try my best to do what he said. And but then when I asked, well, who is this Jesus Christ? He said, well, I don't believe he's God. I don't believe he's the Son of God, but I think he's the best of teachers, and it will do us all good if we did what he said to us. Somebody else said, well, I am not a heathen. That makes me a Christian. Well, these are the things I have personally heard. And you might, if you ask people this, you might get all kinds of other answers too. But these do not give us the Bible's answer to that question. What is a Christian? The term Christian is only used three times in the Bible, and one of them is found here in verse 26 of Acts 11. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, this term Christian was not given by the Christians to describe themselves. It wasn't the label that they gave to themselves. But rather, it was a term that was used by the people in Antioch to describe the kind of conduct and lifestyle which they saw demonstrated by these believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was actually a word used to as a means of a scorn. It was a term of abuse. It was a nickname that was used. Then something wonderful happened. The followers of the Lord Jesus Christ saw this is actually our glory. We are thank God that we are called Christians, because we are Christians. And so it was that they began to use it for themselves, and that they referred to one another as Christians. It became popular, and it became the term for the disciples, the followers, the learners of the Lord Jesus Christ, who had put their full trust and faith in who? A great teacher? A great man? A great leader? Not merely in those things, but in the person of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world of sinners. He died for sinners upon the cross, and then he was buried and rose again and was seen of so many, and then ascended up to glory and sitting at the right hand of God. And so the Christians believed in and still do believe in that person, and they follow him. Someone has said that a Christian is Christ, and then the letters I-A-N. And the term I-A-N, I read somewhere, someone had written, it means I am nothing. That's how they put it. I am nothing. Christ is everything. Christ is everything. Christ is my life. I am nothing. Now, in the time that we have, I want to bring to you four things about what is a Christian. First of all, a Christian is someone who is saved. Secondly, is a person who is assured. Thirdly, is a person who is living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then fourthly, it is a person who is fulfilled and satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what a Christian is, in generally speaking. So first of all, A Christian is someone who is saved. Now, that is the word that the Bible uses to describe what happens in a person, in a person's life, when that person repents. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I've come that you might have life. I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. And he said in other places that he's come to give repentance. And the Christian is a person who has come to realize this, and he repents, he believes, he has his full faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He believes what the Scripture says, that neither is there salvation in any other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That jailer in Philippi asked, what must I do to be saved? And the apostle said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thine house. The Apostle Paul says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be, what? Shall be saved. A Christian is someone who is saved. Are you saved? Have you been rescued? That's what word saved means. Saved from something. Saved from some awful thing. Saved from hell, saved from sin, saved from dominion of sin in our lives. Have you been saved? Have you been rescued by the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you experience that salvation? So a Christian is a Christian who is saved, is a person who is saved, but he's saved from something. A Christian is a person who's been saved from depravity. You see, the Bible teaches that we are all sinners. It's not a very pleasant thing to talk about. It's not a pleasant thing to think about. But the Scripture teaches that we are totally depraved in our souls. And this doesn't mean that what we see about ourselves, what we see in other people, it doesn't mean about what we see. But it means what God sees when He looks upon us, what God sees. Because you look at yourself and you say, well, how could I be totally depraved? Because I can see people who love their wife or love their children. They do some good things. And you study the lives of some very wicked men. You see some good things. Hitler would stand and smell a rose and he would be kind to some children and so on. But this total depravity we are talking about, it's our relationship with God. Our soul state before God. When the Scripture says this about us in Psalm 143 and verse 2, and it says, and enter not into judgment with thy servant, the psalmist says, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. In your sight, O Lord, no one can stand, because no one can match your perfection, your righteousness. Our Lord, the Apostle Paul said this in Romans 11 and verse 32, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief. Our Lord said in Mark chapter 10 and verse 18, there is none good but one, that is God. That's what we mean when we say about being saved from depravity, saved from sin. Have you seen yourself as God sees you? Have you been made to discover that you're a sinner? Have I been made to discover that I am a sinner? It's not a very nice feeling. It is like going to a doctor and receiving some news about your state. And then he says, look at this. Look at this list. I read a very sad email from a friend, and he was explaining about his wife and the tumors in her brain and how they saw the images and they saw the things. It's not going to get better, they said. It's not a very happy sight to see these things. But to find the solution, what can I do about this matter? We have to be made to see these things. But then this salvation is not just from sin and depravity, but it's about being saved from the power and the dominion, the chains of sin and Satan. If unconverted, the Bible says that sin reigns within us. It is dominion over us. That's why you keep falling to the same thing again and again, and you can't rescue yourself out of it. You can't break away out of it. There seems to be, as the scripture says, there's a law of sin that controls us. But friends, this is the message of the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, and he died to break the power of sin. We are reconciled to God, the Apostle Paul says. He says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life," he says. Saved by his life. Are you saved by the life of the Lord Jesus Christ? But then we are saved as well from damnation, the result of sin. This word saved or salvation, it means to be rescued. It means to be delivered. You see, everyone in this room, in this building, we are heading in either two directions. We're on two paths. One that leads to destruction, one that leads to glory and heaven. Which path are we in? Praise God. All of us, by our birth, we are born into one path. But then by God's grace, we are saved out of that one path and brought into another path. Path to glory and heaven. We are born into this road, the broad road that leads to destruction, as our Lord says. But then we are rescued out of it. We are brought out of it. This was the wrong way we were going. Everyone else was going heading that way. But then God showed us and opened our eyes. No, it is wrong way. Turn around. You've used a GPS or a sat-nav before and you've gone the wrong way. It keeps saying, at the first opportunity, turn around. Well, that's what the preaching of the gospel is about. It's saying, turn around. There's a better way. There's a way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so a Christian is someone who is saved from some things. But also, a Christian is someone who is saved by something. Or I should say someone. How are we saved? The Bible tells us by grace, through faith. Those are the ideas described about salvation. How it happens? By faith in Jesus Christ. And when God's grace reaches us, and takes us and works that wonderful salvation in us and sets our feet upon the rock, Jesus Christ. Is that you? It's not about your feeling. At times, when that happens, a person is filled with joy. We shed tears of joy and thanksgiving. But then for some people, when it happens, it is certain things are unclear or they're filled with grief. What have I done to this God who has loved me and cared for me? It is not about what you are able to do or what you feel. It's about what God is able to do. That's the difference, my friends. The Bible says this, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." We are saved by something, by the grace of God it is. So none of us can say, well, it was because of my church going. It was because of my this or that, or being brought up in a Christian home, or being made to do this and that, or having these feelings, or having these abilities. That's why I'm converted. None of us could say any of that. But anyone who is saved, we can only say it's been God's grace, not of me, all of him. I give glory to him. Faith is simply like your five fingers that takes hold upon something. And we take hold upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who is freely given to us in the gospel. Forsaking all, I take him. Someone has said, faith is forsaking all, I take him. Is that you? Forsaking everything else in this life? You take hold upon Jesus Christ and all of his promises. Have you received that? The question is, are you a Christian? But then the second thing is, a Christian is assured. A Christian is assured. These Christians at Antioch and elsewhere had such a deep-seated assurance in the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ that they were willing to be ridiculed. They were willing to be called, oh, look at these Christians. Look at these folk here. They're willing to be mocked and even killed, even martyred. They were sure, you see, of the forgiveness and life that they had received through the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friends, if you were to die this evening, if later on tonight, if you were to die, have you the assurance that you would go to heaven? There are many people in this world don't have that assurance. They don't know. Can you imagine going for a visit to in the times of the New Testament, and you see the Apostle Peter maybe walking, and you go to him and say, Simon Peter, are you a Christian? Are you sure you're a Christian, Simon Peter? Can you imagine Peter turning around to you and say, well, I do hope so. I'm doing my best. I'm not sure about it, but I really hope I am. Maybe I am. I think I am. And then can you imagine going to the Apostle Paul and saying, Paul, are you saved? Paul, are you a Christian? Are you right with God? Are you on your way to heaven? Can you imagine Paul replying and saying, well, I don't think anybody can know that for sure. That somebody said to me, a lady told me yesterday. So these are the things that go through people's minds. It is real. Maybe it goes through your mind as well. Can you imagine Paul saying, well, I don't think anybody can know for sure until they get to heaven whether or not they are saved. No, that's not possible. That's impossible. It was Peter who said, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. It was the Apostle Paul who says, for I know. Not what that's important, but I know whom, he says. I know whom I have believed. He doesn't say, I know what I have believed. You know, you can have all kinds of things. You can tick the box and say, well, these are the statements. You have the Apostles' Creed. And all of it, we should believe it. But you think, well, I believe that. I can recite these things. I can say some of the words of the catechism. I believe in God the Father, the maker of the heaven and earth, and so on. You can say those things. But have you come to know him? There's a difference with that. You see, that's the difference. A person who knows the Savior and a person who just knows about the Savior. That's the difference. Do you just know about Christianity and Christ and some things of the Bible? And that's the difference, boys and girls, children. Don't seek to just know about the Bible, to answer the questions and so on, but to pray to God, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And adults need to do the same. Friends, praise God, you can know whether or not you are saved. You can know without a shadow of doubt. A Christian knows he's assured of salvation. His life is trusting and depending on the Lord Jesus Christ. He has no other security. He has no other guarantee. He doesn't need any other security if he has Jesus Christ, if he's trusting in him. So that's something else. I know whom I have believed, the apostle says. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. The third thing is this. A Christian lives
and follows after the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saved. He has assurance. He has certain knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is his security. But also, he is living upon the Lord Jesus Christ, after the Lord Jesus Christ. He's following the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what his life is about. Let me just point to some very simple words to show how the early Christians were. What do we see in their life? In Acts chapter 2, it's a clear passage about what the Christian experiences. What is he living like? Who is he following after? Some of the various marks of a Christian. In Acts chapter 2, it is on the day of Pentecost. And there are many who are convicted by the Apostle Peter's preaching. And Peter preaches in such a way, and the Spirit of God convicts people and uncovers their sin. And that's one of the marks of a Christian. In verse 37, we read that they were pricked in their heart. A Christian is someone who's been pricked in their heart. They've been convicted. They're not standing in judgment over God, but they begin to realize they need the Lord, and they repent. They turn to the Savior, Jesus Christ, and say, "Lord, I have done all these things wrong. There's nothing worthy in me for you to receive me, but Lord, forgive me on the account of Jesus Christ." That's what happens. And Peter tells them, if you are convicted, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing we see a Christian is like, not just that he repents, not that he simply is convicted, but then when God saves a man, he makes them joyful and happy. There is a sense of gladness. God has saved me. God has been gracious to me. And what do you see there? In verse 41 of Acts 2, we read, "And they that gladly received his word." There was joy. There was a sense of relief. There was a sense of thanksgiving. Are you joyful and happy that you've been forgiven? Not that things are going right for you. No, no. Not that everything is, all your plans are coming to pass. No, no. You're joyful and happy and glad that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is that your joy? That you are now, by God's grace, Christian. You've been saved by God's grace. There's that sense of gladness. A Christian in the worst situation still is a blessed man. Another thing to think about, what is a Christian like? He's a man who's become hungry. He's never satisfied in one sense. He is hungry for God's word. And so it says that, "Then they that gladly received his word." And then it says in verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." They wanted to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted to find out more. They're not sitting there criticizing. They're not sitting there with barriers and excusing things away. No, no, no. They want to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ because the Lord Jesus saved them. So that's another thing, receiving God's word. Do you love reading the Bible, hearing it preached? Do you want to be in such company? Another thing is this, is obedience. They are not saved because of their obedience, but one of the markers is that they've now come to follow Jesus Christ. They love to follow him. They want to obey him because they love him. He's shown them love first, and so they want to demonstrate their love for him by living for him. So you see, they were baptized. Then it says they continued steadfastly. And then they love God's people. They're not fed up of Christians. Oh, the Christians are sinners, and you can find fault with every one of us here. But we see, these are my brothers. These are my sisters. These are for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died. And I love them because Jesus Christ loves them. And so there is that love that God places in our hearts. And so they have fellowship. Something else that you see as well. In those words, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So they're being taught, they have fellowship. And then in breaking of bread, again, obedience. They want to remember the Lord Jesus Christ as is appointed to be remembered. In the breaking of bread is the Lord's Supper, the communion. They come to remember the Savior who died for them. And then also they are found in a place of prayer, in verse 42 at the end. And in prayers, they love to commune with God. They're not just satisfied to hear from God, but they want to speak to the Lord. So it's a both-way relationship. It's a living relationship they have with the Lord Jesus Christ. They are now living, following, full of life, because Jesus Christ gives them life. That's what a Christian is. Now, are you a Christian? And then finally, what we find in the Word of God is that Christians are people who are satisfied, eternally fulfilled, and eternally satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a satisfied person? There's something wrong if someone always complains. We're living in a society that everyone complains all the time. No one's happy with anything. And you might see all the good things, and then everyone focuses on things that they can criticize. It's human nature, I suppose. But a Christian would be someone who is satisfied, who is fulfilled, because they don't get their satisfaction from the world. They don't get their fulfillment from the things that they're experiencing. They're getting their satisfaction and fulfillment from Jesus Christ, their Savior. So they're saved. They are assured. They're living and following the Lord Jesus Christ. But also they're fulfilled. They're complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in their life they are fulfilled. In their life. Because they have provisions from the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He can say, the Lord Jesus Christ leads me to the right pastures. The Lord Jesus Christ who said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So they've got enough. They've got enough. The Lord will provide. That's their song. The Lord will provide. The Lord will take me through these things. I am satisfied. I'm not getting my happiness from the people around me, from my holidays, from my job, from these other things. All of these things, in some way or form, they will fail. But the Lord Jesus Christ is always there for me. So that's their song. Their song is the Lord Jesus. My friends, are you a Christian? Are you satisfied? Are you getting the satisfaction of your life and fulfillment and happiness of your life from things, from this world, or from the Lord Jesus Christ? Our Lord Jesus is all in all to us. The Savior meets our spiritual needs. He meets our material needs. He meets our emotional needs. Everything. In life, but also in your death. You're satisfied. You can experience the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in your death. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The Christian is never alone. Even at death, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. You just think about this. The Christian, yes, we will die. Our bodies will be put to rest. But we don't die alone. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, who takes us over Jordan. I don't die alone. I am not alone. I will know what the Lord Jesus Christ meant when he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So I'm satisfied in my life, in my death, and also in eternity. In eternity. You will never be bored in heaven. Your view of heaven might be, oh, we're just going to be sitting around and singing. We're going to sit around on some clouds, and it's just a church service, is it? Oh, if you think like that, you don't know what heaven is like. You need to go back to the Word of God and find out more. What is heaven like? Because there is the one that we see, our Savior. We see Him. We have a picture of heaven in Revelation 22 and verse 4. It says, they shall see His face. We see the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to the testimony of the psalmist. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. That's the Christian speaking. That's the assurance and the hope of the Christian. Is this your hope? Are you heading for heaven?
Do you have that fulfillment and satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ? I remember reading about a dear old lady who had a great memory. And she memorized so much of the Bible. And as she grew older, she began losing some of those verses that she had memorized. And she began forgetting things. And while she was on her deathbed, she began to forget everything else, it seemed. And there was only one verse that she kept quoting. And the verse was this: "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." And she kept saying it, repeating it. That was her trust and hope. And then she kept forgetting bits of that verse even. And she forgot the first parts. She forgot other parts. And all at the end, before she died, remembered was him. That's all she remembered. And she kept saying, him, him, him. She had lost the whole of the Bible, but one verse, but one word. And yet, that's all we need, him. Do you have him? That's what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who has the Lord Jesus, whose sins are pardoned, who has the joy of the Lord and the assurance of heaven. And this life is the life that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to all those who truly believe in the Lord, truly repent of their sins. And that may be yours as well. And so the question that you ought to ask yourself and answer today sincerely: am I a Christian? Do I resemble these things in my life? If you don't, say, Lord, I need thee. I need thee now. So trust in him, my friends. And may the Lord bless his word then to each one of us. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks for that wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank thee, O Lord, for that name of Christian. We pray that each one of us, young and old, these children here, truly be converted. And we pray for those adults amongst us who are not sure. Lord, work in their hearts. And may they look to the Savior and be saved. Bless us then, for Christ's sake. Amen. We'll close by singing